You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. The service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will use our broadcast to be a blessing to you. We are opening our service with the Way of Truth singer singing for us, "I Believe He'd Go to Calvary for Me."
Try if you can to imagine that to Calvary for me, there to hang to his death on a tree, till fire were the only one to redeem. I believe he'd go to Calvary for me. If I held the key to prosperity and the wealth of this world in my hand, I'd give all that I own if these eyes could be shown just a glimpse of his love for this man. But I believe he'd go to Calvary for me, there to hang to his death on a tree, till fire were the only one to redeem. I believe he'd go to Calvary for me. Yes, I believe to Calvary for me.
The scriptures teach us Jesus tasted death for every man, which means that every individual in the world can be saved if they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege we have of sharing the gospel with this precious people, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast wherever it is reaching. May souls be made to realize their need of God if they're unsaved, and may they be encouraged to press the battle on if they are your servant. So use this broadcast for your honor, for your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with the choir singing for us, "He Took My Sins Away."
My sins away.
Our subject for this broadcast, Why We Need the Gospel. And our text of Scripture is found in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he, speaking of Jesus, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The gospel is the good news concerning Jesus Christ. According to our text, this is a message that Jesus wanted proclaimed to every creature in the world, to every person in the world. No, the Bible does not teach predestination, and it does not teach that only a certain few can be saved. The gospel is to be preached to every creature because Jesus Christ died for everyone. Now, we need the gospel. And why do we need the gospel? Well, first, when God formed man, he was constituted a moral being in God's own image, with a conscience, with freedom, and a natural bent to righteousness. And man had, by God's gift, the responsibility of making a choice. However, he was put on probation, a period of testing as to the performance of duty. God gave them, that is, Adam and Eve, after he had formed Eve from the rib that he took out of Adam's side, he gave them a law, and they had the responsibility of choice. Yes, they had a conscience, and they had a mind, and they had the responsibility of choosing. And I say God put them on probation with a time of testing. The probation was not unfair. It was not unreasonable on God's part. Probation offered opportunity to show their love for God and also to produce moral and spiritual growth. So there was nothing unreasonable about what God did. God always does what is best and what is right. Now, to choose to obey meant happiness. It meant fellowship with God. It meant life physically and life spiritually. To obey meant death, separation from God. Yes, to disobey would bring sin. It would bring separation from God, and it would bring not only spiritual death, but it would eventually bring physical death. Now, Adam and Eve failed in their test. Yes, they failed in their test. They disobeyed Almighty God, and their fall was deliberate, intentional violation of the divine command. They knew what God had said, they understood what God had said, and they knew that they were disobeying God, and their disobedience was a deliberate act. It was intentional violation of divine law. Therefore, it brought spiritual death to their soul and eventually physical death to their life. Their act implied a flagrant rejection of their Creator, contempt for His good law, and a love of things and self more than God. Yes, they showed that they, when they disobeyed, they showed that they loved material things ahead of Almighty God. That's what Satan has to tempt people with today, the world, the things of the world. Now, in Adam, all die, so we are told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. So as a result of Adam's sin, depravity is passed on down from each generation. Now, some people may dispute that, but all you've got to do is to look at people and see their actions and their deeds to know that depravity has been passed down from generation to generation because of Adam's transgression. Yes, in Adam all die. Paul said, "For as in Adam all die," 1 Corinthians 15:22. Because of this depravity, it passed down from Adam to all generations, and all have the responsibility of making their own choice. It is a choice that each one makes. Yes, each individual can and must make your own choice. Joshua said, as far as he was concerned, he and his house would serve the Lord. And the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11 that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Adam sinned, and in Adam all die because depravity is passed on down, and everyone makes the choice. And they choose to go in sin. All we like sin have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, so Isaiah said. So because of this depravity from Adam, it causes people to choose what is wrong. Thus all need the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came into this world. And we have the opportunity of choosing. We have not only the opportunity, but we have the responsibility of choosing. The good news is that Jesus Christ tasted death for everyone. Not just for a select few, I say, but for everyone. Thus, he has the power to save everyone. Since Jesus tasted death for everyone, he has the power to save everyone. When he went in the synagogue there in Capernaum, and there was a crippled man laying there on a pallet, and Jesus said to that man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And people found fault with him and criticized him. And he said to them, "Which is easier, to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'?" And he said to the man, "Rise up and walk." And the man did. He picked up his pallet and he went home. So Jesus Christ not only tasted death for every man, but he has the power to save everyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. We read this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Jesus went in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and in the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So we read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. After Jesus had read that passage of Scripture from Isaiah 61 in our Bible, he sat down, handed the scroll back to the rabbi, and every eye in the synagogue was on him. And he said to them, "This day is this gospel or this Scripture fulfilled in your hearing." So he told them there that he was the fulfillment of the Scripture that Isaiah prophesied. Jesus told Paul, after Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. At first, Paul was a persecutor of the church of God and wasted it. And he had people thrown in jail or even testified against him. He was standing there urging the people on when they stoned Stephen. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord met Saul, and he shone a great light down upon him, so strong that it blinded him. He fell to the ground, and he said, heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who is it, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And he asked the Lord what he would have him to do. And Paul went into Damascus, and there he was filled with the Spirit of God. And the Lord said to Paul as to why he had called him, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among all them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. That is the gospel, and that's the good news. And Paul was called especially to share this message with the Gentiles. Jesus said to him that he would save him from the people, and he would send him to the Gentiles to do what I just read, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. And I say, this is the gospel. This is the good news. And it's the message that Christ, I say, wanted preached to the entire world. Now, let me give you a few examples of the power of the gospel. We read in the book of Mark about a man who had left his home, left his family, and gone out and was living among the tombs, among the dead, weeping and wailing at all times of the hours of the night. Why was he doing that? Because he was possessed with a legion of demons. And when Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee, this man came running and bowed down before him. And Jesus asked him what his name was, and he said, "Legion." Well, that was not his actual name. That was the devil talking through him, and he was possessed with a legion. Some people say a legion is 500. Some of them say there was 5,000. Well, it made no difference with Jesus how many they were. Jesus Christ commanded them to come out of that man. He acted or lived like a crazy man, but he wasn't really crazy from a mental standpoint as far as his mind being deranged. What was wrong with the man was he was possessed with these demons, and they took away his ability to use his mind in a proper way. He still had his mind, but he couldn't use it because of the demons. But after Jesus cast those devils out of him, he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Yes, after the demons were cast out of him, he put on clothes. He had been naked, and when he was around there weeping and wailing and all carrying on the way he was under the power of those demons, he put on clothes, and the Bible says he was of his right mind. Now, that's an example of what the gospel can do for an individual. Then I think of one of the most beautiful characters we read of in the New Testament. And she was commonly known as Mary Magdalene, which meant she was Mary from Magdala. She had lived in Magdala, and so they called her Mary Magdalene. But whenever Jesus first met her, she was possessed with seven demons. Yes, this beautiful character was possessed with seven demons. Of course, she wasn't a beautiful character then, but after Jesus met her, cast the demons out of her, she became one of his most faithful disciples and expressed great love for him. Again, that is an example of what the gospel can do for a person. Paul said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And then there's the woman that the men brought to Jesus, tempting him, and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Yes, she was caught in the very act of adultery. And Moses in the law said she's to be stoned. But what do you say? And Jesus stooped down and wrote in the sand, and then I'd like to think in my imagination that he wrote out some of their sins. And they insisted on an answer, and he said, now you that are without sin, you cast the first stone. And they went out from the youngest to the greatest. And he stood up and he said to the woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man accused me. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you to death. You go and sin no more. Another example of what the gospel can do for a person. The gospel, the good news, is the Lord is able not only to save us, but he's able to keep us after we are saved. What the gospel requires, the gospel gives grace to do. Jesus not only died to save us from our sins, but to sanctify our nature and to give us the Holy Spirit. And he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 9:8. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:12. So the gospel not only has power to save, but the gospel has power to keep. We must be aware that not everything that is taught in the world is really the gospel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:6-8. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, notice that, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven to come into this sinful world to give his life so that we could be saved from our sins, become children of God, live holy, be filled with the be a temple for the Holy Ghost to dwell in, and to Jesus suffered also stripes on his back for the healing of our bodies, and to give us eternal life. The gospel is for all who will receive it. If you have not received the gospel, let me urge you to do so, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Father, bless these truths to our precious congregation today. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741 USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741 USA. Now our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, or you can listen to past broadcasts if you would like. And again, our address is www.wayoftruth.org. We also invite you to be with us in our services as they are broadcast live. Sunday morning, 20 minutes before 11, our morning service. Sunday evening at 6, our evening service. And then Wednesday evening at 7, our midweek service. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be bringing you another Way of Truth broadcast.
Gone from my heart, the world with all its charm. Now through the blood, I'm saved from sin's alarm. Down at the cross, my heart is bending low. The precious blood of Jesus washes white as snow. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased myself. Far away, deep down in sin, once was a slave to passions fierce within, once was afraid to meet an angry God, but now I'm cleansed from every stain through Jesus' blood. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind,